Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
When you walk an aisle, you say, you want to do life together? You want to spend the rest of our lives? And then kids enter, and before you know it, the high demands of raising children and the needs that a small child has that literally will die on its own without attention from the mother, before you know it, your marriage becomes about the primacy of taking care of this child, and your subject is now, we're not a married couple, we're a married couple in the business of raising children.
Powerful insight. Boy, I'll tell you, if you are a newly married or recently married couple, you want to pay close attention to what you're going to hear during the next half hour here on the Homeward broadcast. I'm Roger Marsh in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. You can learn more about that at apu.edu or just go to homeward.com. Today on the program, Brian Berry is an author, he's a blogger, he's a pastor, and he's written an outstanding book called As For Me and My Crazy House. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, he's in studio. Actually, we're in Jim's office today, having a conversation about tips for protecting your marriage and your family from a busy life. There are three main principles that you're going to hear stressed on this program and the next edition of the program. Get paper and pencil and you want to write them down. Here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about tips for protecting your marriage and your family from a busy life. Who does not need that? Brian Berry, a good friend of mine, is with us. He's the Generation Ministries pastor at Journey Community Church in San Diego area. It's a great church, by the way, with some of my really good friends involved in it, too. He's an author. He's a blogger. He's a 20-year veteran of youth ministry. Brian and his wife, Shannon, make their home in the San Diego area, and they have five kids. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah, we have. It's been a couple of years, actually.
I can remember reading your book, As For Me and My Crazy House, and then learning to protect your heart, marriage, and family from a busy life. And I just went, I love this book.
Thanks.
I remember telling you that.
It was really fun.
I loved it. You know, I think one of the biggest issues with marriages, and I think one of the biggest issues with the family, is this breathless pace in which we live our lives. And I think we sometimes underplay the fact that, you know, what could be a good marriage is now a business marriage because, or a business relationship because, you know, we're so strained because we hardly ever spend any time together. We're sort of together, but we're not really connecting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super easy, I think, for a marriage to become about raising kids or to become about just going through the motions of daily life. I call it roommate mode, where you just end up paying bills, getting groceries, doing things together. And before you know it, you don't have a marriage. What you have is what you just said. You have a business that sort of involves raising children and getting the groceries and the electricity paid.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this. I was writing my book called Creating an Intimate Marriage. And I remember reading an article about somebody in New York who, I mean, these were amazing people. I mean, never missed their kids' soccer games, dance recitals. They taught Bible study. One was in the worship band. But they said at the very end of the article, it was in the New York Times, said that phenomenal people, but when they would go to bed, usually too late, they were 6 inches apart, but miles apart relationally.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's super easy for marriages to get that way. And never intentionally. Nobody intends for that to happen. But a marriage that just goes about, I think, the normal pace and the normal expectations and the normal relational patterns that we have in our culture just naturally drifts. It doesn't move us to intimacy. It doesn't move us to really having a great marriage. It just moves us to what is normal. And normal is not necessarily good anymore.
Well, you're exactly right. And sometimes we settle for that, but yet there's a deep yearning in our heart. Now, in your book, and by the way, like I said, I really like your book, As For Me and My Crazy House. And I love it because
My house is crazy, for sure.
I think, well, five kids.
Right.
What can you say? Plus you.
Yeah,
I've known you for long enough to know that, you know,
two teens, there you go. And then the preteen, and then the youngins.
Right, and then the father. But the interesting side to it is when we talk about, you know, protecting our marriage and our family, one of the things that you say, and I love this phrase, you said the best gift we can give our marriage is a healthy self.
Right.
So you weren't talking about working on your marriage. You're saying work on yourself.
Yeah. My wife and I actually go away twice a year for some time together. And we do it once in November for her birthday and once in June for our anniversary, or June-ish, because I'm in youth ministry, and that means that occasionally my anniversary falls on summer camp, which
summer
that's
camp,
not
I remember
great.
That. You wrote about it in the book.
Right, so we end up finding specific time, and at this retreat I was at, I felt like the Lord had really given me this, and so Shannon and I sat down, and I had to kind of back off it, actually, at the beginning, because when I began to unload at dinner, we always go to one fancy dinner, and we're at this one really nice dinner, and I bring notes, which that's really romantic, you know, and I tell my wife, I said,
at the fancy dinner, you bring the notes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't work in my life. I'll tell you that much so right now, guys.
So I thought, I busted out this small note, and I said, I feel like the Lord has given me these three statements, and the first was that the best gift we can give our marriage is a healthy self. And it sounds like you need to get yourself cleaned up. And because I began to ask my wife, hey, what do we need to do to help you be healthy? And I was asking myself the same question. What do I need to do to help me to be healthy? And my observation has been that I will, as a loving, caring, even a Christ follower, will try definitely to help my kids in whatever their needs are, to help my marriage, to help ministry people, or whatever your demands are, work, family, friends, neighbor ask me for something. And if in that slot of time I had something that was slated that seems to have a tinge of selfishness, it's just taking care of me, reading, exercise, a nap, and somebody wants to interrupt that, I won't tell my kids, no, I can't help you because I got to take a nap. I'll sacrifice the nap to help them. And in the end, I end up with less sleep. I end up less energy. I snap quicker. And I had to really come to the realization that not taking care of me was wounding people around me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we do that, especially, you know, you involved in ministry. I think that happens with people definitely who are involved in ministry. They're, you know, they're trying to do it all. One of my mentors, his name is Gary Smalley. You'd know Gary Smalley. And Gary Smalley calls this self-care.
Right.
And that sounds selfish.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm going to take a nap because I'll be better off for my kids or with my spouse or whatever. But what I hear you saying is no, if you don't take care of yourself, obviously it's not a 24/7 selfish. You can go selfish,
right.
But most people aren't that way. They just need to move a little bit of doing self-care. I call it self-leadership, putting some energy into your own.
Yeah, I call it as selfish as this sounds, I'll call it me time.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
You need me time. You need a percentage of your life taking care of you. If you're a first responder, for example, and you're a firefighter or you are a lifeguard. In fact, if you've ever taken a lifeguard class, they teach you in lifeguard training. They run with that cool buoy, you know, that looks awesome in Baywatch. Right. When they do that because they throw that buoy at someone who's drowning, because a drowning person will grab onto anything and everything just to stay alive. They're in starvation mode. And in those cases, we teach our first responders, you better watch out for yourself or you'll end up drowned.
Yeah.
You'll end up drowning. And so you don't want to end up drowning with this individual. So the healthy thing for you to do is to make sure that you position yourself to save a life, not lose yours while trying to save theirs.
And, you know, many people, I think, have lost their marriages, sometimes lost their kids because they were so busy doing important things that they missed one of the key issues is that they were very unhealthy people themselves.
Right. And then we blame others for that unhealth. Sure. We blame the demand of our life, the busyness of our marriage, the dysfunction of someone else.
Right.
And instead of stopping and saying, in order to deal with all of that around me, I need a level of stability and I can't pass that off to anyone else.
Right. No, you know, if you point a finger at, you know, your spouse, there are three fingers pointing back at you.
Right.
And so many times, again, we want to blame our spouse for all of our problems.
Right.
You know, my daughter said something. She said, you know, she's recently married. And she said, you know, life is hard, Dad, and marriage is kind of hard at times. But she goes, I at first was kind of saying anything that was hard, I was blaming her husband's name is Steve. I was blaming Steve for everything that was hard. And I realized, wait, some of this stuff was hard before I was married to Steve, too.
Right.
She goes, I need to make sure that I'm taking care of my own soul. She quoted something to me that I've said many times. Untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes.
Right.
So I think what's happening is what I hear you saying is no, take care of your soul. It's okay. Give us permission to do that.
Right. I heard a speaker recently say that when you don't do that, you don't have your own best interest in mind. And that, again, that sounds a little bit selfish, but when you understand
that
taking care of you, like, why wouldn't I? That's the kind of the odd thing, is that why would I allow myself to get such an unhealthy place? And this, when Shannon and I were having this discussion, it sounds like when you're talking to the other person, it sounds like you're the problem. And the truth of the matter is, no, it's the two of us both need to accept, I have this phrase, that two broken people don't make a beautiful mosaic. We like to think about that. You know, you compliment me, we bring our best. No. Two broken people make a mess. And so the healthier contribution I make to my marriage and the healthier contribution my wife makes to the marriage, the healthier marriage we have. And so when I bring dysfunction to the table, that gets in the soup and it creates a mess. And so in that case, when we think of it that way, taking care of you is actually a beautiful gift to your marriage, such that I bring health and life. And when my wife is down, she can depend on that strength and vice versa. But the goal is for both of us to champion the best, not fix each other's problems, you know, and blame the other person or make excuses for why it is that my own soul has not been tended to.
Yeah, that's great. Great input. We're going to take a break here in a moment, but just to reiterate it, the fact is you're saying the best gift you can give your marriage is a healthy self, and it's not selfish. It's actually really good. Two wounded people, you know, do make a mess, and yet so many of us come to our marriages wounded thinking that the other person is going to heal us or make us whole or whatever, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, we love to tout that. We even have these phrases, my better half.
Right.
You know, things like that. We love this idea that God's going to bring us someone who's going to make up for all of our shortcomings.
Right.
And it's just, it's unbiblical, and it's not what I think a healthy marriage is made of. A healthy marriage is made of two healthy people, and that individual responsibility to take care of yourself is yours and yours alone.
Yeah, that's great input. Great input. Brian Berry with us. He's written a great book. It's called As For Me and My Crazy House, Learning to Protect Your Heart, Marriage and Family from a Busy Life. Roger's going to tell you about that right now. When we come back, I want to talk to you, Brian, about the best gift we can give our family is a healthy marriage and why that's important too. Roger?
Well, Jim, if we think about the fact that busyness can really mess us up. We talk about this often here on the Homeward Broadcast. The breathless pace of modern living is just sucking the life out of marriages. It's sucking the life out of families. And as Brian and you have been talking about this, the first thing you can do, the best gift that you can give your marriage is a healthy self. It's so important for us to remember that these principles that Brian writes about in his book, As For Me and My Crazy House, are worth knowing and memorizing. We've got the book up at homeward.com if you want to learn more about that. And also take a look at Dr. Jim Burns' writings on a variety of different topics that will help you and your family take the pressure off a little bit. Understand the value of family playtime and just kind of relaxing and enjoying each other's company. Learn more when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Oh, I can't believe we're finally here, our favorite campsite.
Oh, it really is nice to get away.
And this is about as far away as you can get.
Girls, girls, listen, do you hear it?
What do I hear what?
I don't hear anything.
Exactly. No cell phones, no computers, no pagers, no traffic.
Nothing but peace and quiet. Oh, I just love it.
There's nothing better than a family getaway. You know what I'm talking about. No homework, no headaches, no diets or deadlines. Just the family chilling out and enjoying each other's company. Well, the point is, when your family goes on trips or just hangs out and plays together, it's a golden opportunity to build memories, both big ones and small ones. A healthy family takes time to play. And you can read more about the importance of family playtime in my tip sheet called The Family That Plays Together Stays Together. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. And I mean a great conversation. We were just saying this at the break. How important it is. Brian Berry is with me. He's a friend of mine. Tips for protecting your marriage and family from a busy life. And oh, do we have busy lives. And we were talking about the fact that really one of the best gifts we can give our marriage is a healthy self and how important that is. But there's another phrase, Brian, that you talked about. And it says the best gift we can give our family is a healthy marriage. And a lot of times I see couples who are what I call child focused. They're putting all their energy into
right.
their children. Obviously, you've got five kids.
Yep.
You got to put energy into the kids. But what you're saying is really, even for those kids, it's more effective, if you would, to make sure that you're working on your marriage.
Right, absolutely. And that's actually the largest divorce is happening, the largest increase in divorce is happening among those people who end up empty nesters. And that's because they spend 20 years of their life raising their children, and then they roll over and go, who are you?
Right.
Because the very function, the only reason their marriage existed had been to raise kids. It's as if you walk an aisle, and at the end of the aisle, you say, boy, you want to have kids? No, when you walk an aisle, you say, you want to do life together? You want to spend the rest of our lives? And then kids enter, and before you know it, the high demands of raising children and the needs that a small child has that literally will die on its own without attention from the mother.
Sure.
Before you know it, your marriage becomes about the primacy of taking care of this child, and your subject is now, we're not a married couple, we're a married couple in the business of raising children.
No, that's really important. And it's so easy to get sucked in, like you say. I mean, they have needs. Sometimes our spouse does have needs, but not the kind of needs that a needy child would have.
Right. My wife and I had to have a really tough conversation around that time where we actually had to say to our kids, like, I would come home from work and I would say, hey, you have a half an hour. You guys can go play. And unless someone's bleeding or dying, don't interrupt because mom and dad right. need a few moments. We right. need some time together. We right. need to, I need to ask my wife how her day was. She needs to talk with me. We have some connections to do. And the kids don't ever give us that space. That's never made for us. We have to make that. And my wife and I have figured out that if we don't make that, our kids see us, we start getting dysfunctional. We start in the same way that looking out for each individual, like we don't, there's no way that two broken people will make a beautiful marriage. I can't take a broken marriage and expect a beautiful family to come out of that. My kids are going to bleed. They experience that brokenness. They see the dysfunction. They start oozing it themselves. They start behaving with fear and anger or concern, and they don't have rest in them. You can see it in their person. Yeah. And instead of just being worried about the things that a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old should be worried about, all of a sudden, they're concerned about the roof over their head. They're concerned about the stability of the primary relationship yeah. that they're going to for kind of concern.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you say that. I was thinking about a scripture proverb that says, the man or woman of integrity walks securely. And I'm here to also think that not only would a man or woman walk securely, but if they have an integrity in their marriage, then their children are going to be secure too.
Absolutely.
And yet, like you say, kids... You know, sometimes there's going, you guys are going on a date? We got other things to do.
Right.
You know, we don't want that half hour time. Yeah. We want to, yeah. you know, nose right. in on that. And so it takes real discipline many times.
Absolutely. And sometimes creative resourcing. I mean, you have to put value on that in terms of time yeah. and money and get creative with what that looks like to say, we've got to do this. We need to do yeah. this because, first of all, this is why we got married, was for this function anyway. And secondly, it is our kids need it. They absolutely thrive when their parents thrive.
Yeah.
When my kids see me, you know, necking on my wife, or when they see, yeah. when they come into the kitchen and find us connected. And I listen, for me, my wife and I don't end up connected unless I give it time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's true with most marriages, that you don't just, it's not hot in the kitchen all the time. You know, the reality right. is if I want that to be the case, I want my kids to run into healthy interactions with their mom right. and dad. We have to spend consistent time fostering and investing. I had to spend time pursuing my wife. I had a date or, you know, whatever. I mean, there is that reality that when I do that, it's so good for my kids. It's healthy for what I want their marriage to look like down the road. And it's really healthy for them to see us struggling and fighting to keep that value
That's
really
great.
High.
That's great. You know, you have that. Shannon has that. What do you say to the mom, maybe
yeah.
the dad who's listening, who would love that, but they're not getting it from another spouse?
Right.
And so what do they do to try to engage in a marriage that's, you know, not going
yeah.
in that direction?
One of the things I found that has been most profound for me was Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages.
Yeah.
That was so profound and encouraging for Shannon and I. I've seen marriages fall apart for their failure to simply understand how the other speaks love. How can I speak a language of love that they would understand and receive? So if that individual, regardless of their connection to God or not, if they just love time spent, then how can you carve out a little bit of time to fill their tank? If they love words of encouragement and they're so blessed whenever you say that, how can you make sure that when you connect, you make sure you express appreciation verbally for something they've done, whether it's writing a cool note or taking time to say, honey, tonight's dinner was amazing. Or thank you so much for paying attention to this thing I cared about. And acknowledging if they love to, when people serve, then volunteering to serve the family in some way becomes a blessing. So you learn to understand what it is that your spouse really needs. If this was a college class, you would know that certain profs love certain things. They want you to participate in class, or they want, you know, a certain word used in repeated throughout your essay. And you learn to manipulate that. And I'm not saying manipulate your marriage, but you learn what it is your spouse really loves, sure. and then you begin to fuel that. And that's how I think we yeah. get to a place of health.
Right. I was talking with Gary Chapman. You mentioned his book, 5 Love Languages. And that's a great book, one of the top books. And I
saw it in the airport just the other day.
Well, it's incredible.
Still, I mean,
wrote
after
that years ago, and
right.
it's still a bestseller, New
right.
York Times bestseller. But Chapman said, if I knew that my wife would get excited to be around me for cleaning the toilet, I would clean the toilet every day.
Right, right. Yeah, and you start doing that. In fact, I have a friend whose marriage is on the rocks, really. And the conversation with both of them have been really, I mean, if I had to summarize it all, it was clearly you're not speaking each other's language.
Yes.
She needs words of affirmation. She said that. He's not giving her. He's mad. Yeah. And he needs some physical touch, and she's not giving it.
Right.
And they're using sex as a weapon. And the end result is the two of them are, nobody's taking the time to speak the other's language, and the thing's falling apart.
No, it's great input. The illustration that Gary uses so well, and you referred to it, is, you know, you've got a hose, and you're stepping on the hose.
Right.
And when you step on the hose, all of a sudden now, and the air is supposed to be coming through the hose, but there's no air coming through it.
Right.
So, you know, the marriage could die. All you got to do is get off the hose and start doing some of that ministry stuff. And I'm not saying every marriage is that easy to fix.
No.
It's complicated, and life's complicated. But again, the truth is that I agree with you that when we work on our marriage, it has to be the primary. You got your relationship with God, your relationship with your marriage, then your children, then your vocation. But again, too many marriages move and put the child-focused stuff ahead. Obviously, you have to spend more time with your kids than you do with your spouse. But in terms of the element of time, you were talking about that.
Yeah.
But it's when you're proactive, intentional, that you really then begin to see marriages thrive, even marriages that are kind of, you know, fade.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's where we need to really pay specific attention and understand. You mentioned the multiple demands as well as that hose thing. I think there, and the idea that you spend more time with your kids than you do, I think that's one of the dangers in this, or the pressures, is that we think of balance and we think, oh my gosh, I have to spend a certain amount of time. That's not true. I don't think quantity time and quality time are the exact same thing.
I
think I need to make a quality investment, and that investment, whether that's into my children, it said, I heard this quote once, and it said this, that quality time is an accident in quantity time. And so there is some real beauty that you stumble onto these moments. You can't plan to take care of your marriage and plan to take care of your kids. No, you spend time with your kids. You spend time with your spouse. And those things happen as a result of that.
Right.
And so I think people that really want, in fact, we want great families. And so we begin to invest in our kids, and we, much like it is that domino you said, if I don't take care of myself, then my marriage ends up a mess because I end up blaming my spouse for all my problems. If I don't take care of my marriage, my kids' demands don't diminish, they increase, and I find myself in the business of raising children, and my marriage falls apart because I didn't tend to it, thinking that the primary screaming need was the chief need, and it wasn't.
Wow.
The chief need was to take care of myself, which nobody's yelling at me to do. And then the bigger need of taking, or that then flows into the need of my marriage, taking care of my marriage, and then the needs of my family. And incidentally, down the road, you mentioned vocation. Very few people's vocation is demanding that you take care of your family. But every dysfunction in marriage and family is bleeding over into your workplace. And so whether you're working in a secular job, or in my case, if you're working in a place that's tied to theology and belief in things, they're not telling me, Brian, take care of your marriage and family. But if I don't take care of my marriage and family, I lose my job.
Right.
So even if you're working in the construction world, if things are at home a mess, it's hard to just do an honest day's work and focus on the task because you're bringing all that baggage in. So the gift we give really does flow downstream like that.
Great. Incredible stuff. Brian, I could listen to you and have a conversation with you all day, but we've got to stop. I want you to come back. Can you come back next time?
Yeah.
Great. Incredible conversation as you think about it. And it's, you know, it's simple. You know, I kind of hit my head and say it's simple, but yet life together is complicated. We've been talking about tips for protecting your marriage and family from a busy life. Brian Berry is our guest. As Brian was talking, I was thinking about this. There's a scripture that in Proverbs that says, guard your heart. And it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And many times, if I'm going to ask anybody, you know, what are your priorities? They're going to say the right priorities, but sometimes we don't guard our heart. And guarding our heart doesn't mean that we're going to have infidelity. Guarding our heart is going to mean that sometimes we don't take the first things first, our relationship with God and our relationship with our spouse, and connect. And then, as he was saying, the family falls apart. So, you know, today's lesson for me is guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Great conversation. We'll have more next time. Roger.
Well, highly recommend that you go online to homeward.com. If you haven't signed up for our podcast yet, make sure that you do, because that way you'll get the first part and the second part basically in the same sitting if you want. But for terrestrial radio purposes, this is the end of part one of a two-part conversation featuring Dr. Jim Burns and pastor and author Brian Berry. And you can find Brian online at briancberry.com, by the way. Tips for protecting your marriage and family from a busy life. You know, Jim has written on this extensively in his 30-plus years of ministry, nearing 40 now as he and Kathy near their anniversary. I hope I didn't let the cat out of the bag, but their anniversary coming up in May. It'll be number 40 and kind of an exciting time for the Burns family. But 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family talks about that breathless pace of modern living and how we as Christians especially can be proactive in getting a better balance. You can order 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family when you go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.